So which person are you more like this time of year? Person A or person B? Person A is in a state of increasing agitation and unrest. Last night he got into a huge shouting match with a lady in the mall parking lot. She had stolen his space, the space that he was clearly heading towards. And so he got out of his car, started arguing, then yelling. It was only when a crowd began to gather that he pulled himself together and walked away. That's person A. Person A is demonstrating little peace or joy this Christmas. He's had his fill of Christmas plays and winter concerts. The volunteerism of his kids is literally driving him crazy. When they told him they had another unscheduled performance at a senior's home, he snarled at them. He told them that they would need to find their own way there. Now, every once in a while, he ponders the trajectory of his life. He even considered reading that devotional his wife brought home from church. But most evenings, he plants himself in front of the TV, finds a basketball or hockey game that he can enjoy, and forgets about everything else. That's person A. So how about person B? Person B is also facing the same pressures of the season. His family is stressed out from all the extra obligations and activities. So person B gets up a little earlier in the morning to read his Bible, to pray, to prepare for these challenges. At work, he makes his rounds calling on his regular clients. While it's a little awkward, he still invites them to make a donation to the local women's shelter. He's been running his own little campaign for the shelter each December for the last number of years. He meets one client for lunch, but as the server is handing him the bill, she knocks a full glass of water straight into his lap. But somehow he laughs it off. He sees that she's young, awkward, and nervous. He gives her a big tip, even though it now looks like he's peed his pants. So which person are you more like this time of year? Person A or person B? My daughter heard me preparing for this. She told me I'm person A. Reality is, we have the potential to be both people, right? That stolen parking space can end with a gentle wave. Go ahead. Or it can end with a fist or something more, right? It all depends on the state of our heart and our mind. Of course, we might expect that those who have welcomed the Christmas message, and that's most of us, I think, we might expect that those who have welcomed Christ would somehow embody the best of the season. The Apostle Paul raises this question in the verses that preceded our epistle lesson. In the preceding passage, Paul calls various groups within the church, the old men, the young men, the old women, the young women, to embody exemplary character. Now, Paul's an evangelist. He's a salesman, and he realizes that we are walking, talking billboards for Jesus, that the way we live will either make the gospel attractive or distasteful, foul-smelling. Well, today's lesson, like the previous verses, also calls for such exemplary behavior. But here it's framed a little differently. Paul's moved on from this focus on evangelism to simply considering what is the proper response to the gospel message. At the beginning of today's lesson, verse 11, Paul reminds us of what God has already done in Jesus. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. At the end of the lesson, he tells us that this God who has come among us in Jesus will one day return, will visit us again. Now, these two bookends, I think, express much of the hope that we have as Christians. I mean, God sent Jesus to save us from our sins and rescue us from evil. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, we have the assurance that the future, that all things are in God's hands, that one day all things will be made new. God has taken care of both the past and the future. But what about the present? What about today, here and now? Well, what Paul argues is that God's work in the past and God's promise for the future directs our living in the presence, in the present, directs our behavior this Christmas. We are called to, and I quote, live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Self-controlled, sophrosyne, also translated moderation or temperance. Self-controlled, upright, dikaiosyne, more often rendered as just, and godly, eusebia, piety. We are called to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, today, here and now. Well, what does that mean? Self-controlled, I think, means avoiding excess. Now, that's quite the challenge, right? At a time of year where we are wound up so tightly and there's free liquor on the table. That's quite the challenge when we are deluged by advertising for the latest, greatest products at cutthroat prices. I mean, were you tempted to go to Costco instead of church this morning? Maybe. Uprightness means extending our concern beyond ourselves and our own clan to those who are less fortunate, those who have been treated poorly by life. Godliness or piety means guarding God's place in our lives, in our daily activities. These are also big challenges, uprightness and godliness, given the season's pressure around time and scheduling and finances. And yet this behavior is seen by Paul to be the right and proper response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the grace of God, we are told, that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to say yes to self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. The same grace of God that redeems us from sin and evil is what allows us to become the very people God intended from the very beginning, a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Eager, not begrudging. So how does this happen? How does this transformation occur from person A to person B? If you listen to the various stories that, you know, are in the airwaves this time of year, you might be convinced that this transformation is sort of spontaneous. I mean, what are we told about the Grinch when he realizes that all his nefarious activities can't ruin Christmas in Whoville? And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. What are we told about Ebenezer Scrooge when he confronted Christmas past, present, and future? He is suddenly giddy with the gratitude, throwing open the windows, calling down to that young boy to send that prize turkey to his poor employee. Then he goes out and makes this huge donation for the care of the poor. Christmas stories about wonderful transformation that can happen this time of year. Wonderful stories, but And yet, I think these stories have a danger of convincing us that Christian character is something that just sort of happens to us when we're passive, something that hits us on the head without our attention or our involvement. The reality, it seems, from Scripture is that Christian character is a joint project with God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, yes, but requiring our openness and our determination. This character develops from daily obedience, making small everyday decisions to say yes and to say no. This learning when and how, to what and to whom to give our yes or no to is a lifelong project. It is learning to live not merely in dull balance or tedious moderation, but in passionate, disciplined choice and action. So is Paul asking us to do more work this season? I mean, is this another load to carry on our shoulders? I think he's asking us to work differently, to take that passion and energy we give to some things and to redirect them to other things, to activities that bring about redemption. At Christmas, we hear the good news. We have been rescued from sin and evil. Paul tells us that what Jesus has begun will be completed at the end of time. So how are we to live in the meantime? We respond by giving our heart and our soul and our strength and our mind. And by God's grace, we are transformed. Thanks be to God. Amen.